Welcome back. My name is Cyril Lachelle, and it is half past the hour. I'm, of course, joined with Wes Grogan.
How you doing?
For anybody who just tuned in, we will be hitting the news and weather here in a couple of minutes, and we will be tossing it over in just a few seconds to our Eye in the Sky Chopper 7 to see what the traffic is like. Before we do all that, though, we have a pretty busy show lined up for you today, including some old news. We have some virtual console games to talk about, Prince of Persia, and a whole argument about video game remakes. So, first and foremost, let's ask Wes, what's going on? How you doing today?
Doing all right. Enjoying the crappy Ohio Valley weather.
Well, it's actually really pleasant here in Washington State. It's a nice 70 degrees. The sun's out. I'm not a big fan of the heat, though. I'm not a big. I know that 70 isn't very very hot, but
try 89.
Well, that's coming.
It's about 120% humidity, I think.
Yes, I'm not a fan of heat, so I don't do well with warm weather. That's why I'm here in Washington, where it's nice and cold. But I'm sure we'll hear all about that in the news and weather segment of our show. Anyway, so before we get started, we have a name change to the retro news. I think we're going to call it old news, but that just makes it sound like we're going to talk about stuff that's like 7 years old.
So, how about new news?
This is new news, but it's maybe new old news. Maybe it's just the news. So before we get into that,
that's original.
So we have a few stories to talk about. A few retro related stories came up this last week. The first among them was Myst coming to the DS.
Oh man!
And now it is no. Anybody that's read Defunct Games already knows that I absolutely hate Myst. That is the worst reviewed game currently on Defunct Games. So I'm not even sure I should talk about this.
No, I want to hear what you have to say.
I hate Myst. I love puzzle games, and I like. And I have nothing against Myst style games. I'm a big fan of Shadowgate, but I'm sure everybody knows this already. But my problem is that the puzzles are so completely nonsensical that they might as well just toss up 25 light switches and say, "Hey, guess the combination."
Oh, it got worse than that if you ended up in the fireplace and you had to do that puzzle where it's like 800,000 combinations and.
Yeah,
you're just supposed to randomly choose.
And now from what I hear, the games got better over time. The puzzles became less nonsensical. But the original, and it's such an my problem. If nobody had remembered it, I would have no problem with it. But it's one of those things where since everybody loved it at the time, and it was the biggest selling game of that era. And we're still talking about it here, you know, 15 years later. I think that's my problem with it.
Yeah, it was a flash in the pan. It was the new technology. It was the new concept. But, I mean, it wasn't that much new. If they're taking it from a CD and putting it onto, like, a 32 megabyte DS cartridge.
Yeah.
You know, that's not exactly impressive.
No, absolutely. And I guess, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it'll look fine. And the touchscreen makes sense. But it's still just Myst. I wish that they would bring out some other. I mean, they should go back and release all those classic LucasArts adventure games or something like that.
Yeah, now that'd be nice. I mean, everybody's using the Scum emulator to do it right now. But
right.
It'd be nice to have it, I don't know, official, maybe updated a little bit.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it wouldn't cost much money. I'm assuming that, you know, if it was a $30 collection of, you know, three or four of these games, that everyone, you know, from that era would go and love it. And
it'd
probably even attract new people that, hey, maybe they'd even enjoy Sam and Max or some of these other newer adventure games that are just coming out.
Yeah, I mean, you could get into a Day of the Tentacle, Sam and Max, Full Throttle. I mean, there's a ton of them out there.
Absolutely. And you know, why not release the you know, Indiana Jones and whatnot around the time that new Indiana Jones movie's coming out. So
you know, I'm betting Lucas still has the rights to that.
Probably.
So they could probably put it back out again.
Yeah. Moving on, we also have Tomb Raider coming to the Xbox 360 as downloadable content. Now, this is supposed to be episodic from what I hear. And now, some may argue that the Tomb Raider is not really retro, but I'm going to argue because it's, what, 11 years old or whatnot. Now, I guess that's also the problem, is this is the Tomb Raider Anniversary Collection or Anniversary Edition or whatever, and it's, I guess, the 11th anniversary, and, you know, it's coming out in the summer when, if I remember correctly, the other one came out in the fall, so it's not even the right anniversary, but whatever. Right. That's fine. But my problem is that this game, you know, it came out on the PlayStation 2, the PSP, and the PC, but they want to do it like as episodic, you know, like chapter for chapter on the Xbox 360, so that you pay and you download these instead of buying, you know, just a big old disc. Do you have any thoughts on that, Wes?
Yeah, is this them finally admitting that Tomb Raider, the original, was completely empty? I mean, if you can take your game, chop it up into little parts, and sell it individually, I think you're finally admitting our game has nothing to it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the original Tomb Raider was very empty. Tomb Raider Legends, people liked it because it was finally playable.
Right.
You know, that was why people loved it, is, oh, look, I can control her now.
Hold on here. Now, so you weren't a fan of Tomb Raider back when it first came out?
I've really never been a fan of Tomb Raider.
I mean, I'll admit that the original Tomb Raider, by today's standards, is a crummy playing game. I mean, it's almost impossible to go back and try to play that game and have a good time. It's the controls are absolutely horrific. But
right.
At the time, we had never seen anything like it, and you know there was that sort of sense of exploration that we didn't get from other games of that era. So I had a lot of fun going back through that original game, and yeah, I mean, after the second and third and fourth one, it got a little old, and I enjoyed Tomb Raider Legends for, you know, exactly the reason, but also because it brought back that sense of exploration, and it did it with a nice control scheme, I thought.
Yeah.
But this one is going to have the same control scheme. I mean, it's, you know, it still controls, you know, it controls better now. So, and they've completely retro, and we'll talk about whether or not it's a good idea to even retrofit these old games with right. new graphics and whatnot in our second half. But do you think it's a good idea for them to actually release it with episodic as an episodic?
The question that I still have that I'm still not completely sure on is whether or not you're going to be required to have Tomb Raider Legend to be able to download the Tomb Raider Anniversary for the 360. I'm still not completely clear on that because it uses the Legend game engine and the downloads are much smaller. So I'm not totally sure on that. I've heard both ways on it.
Yeah, and I'm not... Well, it's not going to be an Xbox Live Arcade title, so it doesn't have to fit into a certain amount of memory. I mean, I think it'll be much like how they did it with the Shivering Isles, the Oblivion expansion pack.
And that's the thing. I believe in this case that they're using it as an addition onto Tomb Raider Legends. I mean, it's just going to be an expansion pack for Tomb Raider Legends, if I remember correctly.
What is that?
What's what?
That music in the background.
Oh, it's from the website. I'm sorry. I didn't think that was going through, but apparently it is.
Wow. You cheating on us here? You're reading other websites?
No, I was trying to find out. I went to their homepage. I was trying to find out if it actually was going to be directly tied into Tomb Raider Legends, but it doesn't have anything on there. Yeah.
All right, let's move on. speaking of PlayStation era games, this isn't, again, probably specifically retro, but it looks like Sony has confirmed that Parappa the Rapper 3 is going to be released on the PlayStation 3 either this year or next year. They're at least working on a Parappa the Rapper 3. And now, of course, this is probably not the origins of music games, but this is probably one of the first times that I really realized how fun it would be to manipulate music, especially because of the CD interface and whatnot. I'm not a big rap fan. I'm not a big hip-hopper. But right. the raps were just innocent enough to make me laugh, and I go back every so often and have a lot of fun, and I even enjoy that soundtrack. So are you excited about the Parappa the Rapper 3 on the PlayStation 3, Wes?
Yes and no. I love the first one. I absolutely love it. It was the first music game that made me laugh.
Oh yeah, that's
and that's really
game.
What it came down to. Yeah. And, you know, just the entire storyline behind it was just so ridiculous, it was perfect.
Yeah.
My concern is whether or not it's really going to translate. Sony is trying very hard to push graphics. And Parappa the Rapper has never been about that. So I'm hoping they don't end up compromised. I mean, that's really
They're releasing, I mean, it's graphics when it comes to, you know, their standalone games. But that isn't necessarily the case with their downloadable games, and I'm not sure if this, if any of the news has clarified whether this will be, you know, a Blu-ray disc game that you go out and buy,
yeah.
Or this will be something that you can download off of the store. But I think that, you know, it's like Calling All Cars is certainly not the best looking game on the PlayStation 3.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yet, I mean, it's one of a lot of people's favorites. And I think that if this was, you know, some sort of downloadable game, it would probably make more sense. And, you know, and it's clear that they're trying to get their, you know, their best people to make some of these games. I mean, the people that made Eco, are currently working on some sort of downloadable game, from what I hear. And then, of course, David Jaffe did Calling Out Cars. So, I mean,
right.
If they got their Parappa people back to do, you know, a downloadable sequel, that would make a lot of sense.
Then I would be all over it at that point. I absolutely would be.
I'm interested at why they chose to do it on the PS3 and not the PSP, though. It seems like that's one of those games where you could do it in a short burst. And, I mean, the original Parappa the Rapper is coming out for the PSP here in a couple of months. So I'm a little confused at why they decided to go that direction. And, I mean, it's not a graphic-intensive game, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I mean, it's one of their lesser utilized IPs, and it's weird that they went with the PS3. I mean, I agree with you on that, but I suspect that they're just having to, you know, pull out the stops and get everything they can to go onto the PS3.
Does this mean that we're going to see a Jammer Lammy sequel in our near future? I sure hope so, especially with the success of Guitar Hero.
Now that would do it. Yeah, that would win me over in a heartbeat. I'd be there.
That game was great, and
yeah.
Vib Ribbon.
I don't know. Vib Ribbon was wonderful.
Yeah,
you know, I love the music games that have come out lately, and you know, I think we're definitely in kind of a renaissance period with those.
Yeah, well, it's because there's at least one or two companies that get it right. They, I mean, Harmonix knows what they're doing when it comes to
those
music games. I mean, even if it's just karaoke, they seem to know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they've got MTV and E8, you know, in their corner now, and I still believe in them. That says a lot.
Yeah, well.
You know, normally MTV and EA, I write it off immediately, but.
Yeah, and you know, as much as I'm, as excited as I am about Rockman, I do have to admit that part of me wishes they'd go back and they'd do a third installment to the Frequency series.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what they'd call it, but they got to do it.
Amplitude. Stratocaster.
Well,
yeah, I don't know what
we'd
call
have
it.
To think about that a little. That's up to them, not us. All right, so let's move on to, now, this is not necessarily retro news. I it seems like I'm saying that a lot. This is not, I mean, anyway. So, Soul Calibur 4 was...
You've got to stand behind yourself here.
I know. It's low self-confidence week, I guess.
What it is, yeah.
So, Soul Calibur 4 was announced yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, as of this recording, I should say. And I'm personally excited. I've always enjoyed the Soul Calibur series. However, the reason that this is relevant is because Soul Calibur, or the original Soul Calibur, which was called Soul Edge.
Very good.
Back on the in the arcade days, and then mysteriously they changed the name, I think, to Soul Blade on the PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
But Soul Edge is now 12 years old, and that really makes me feel old.
Yeah, yeah.
But this was one of my favorite games back in the day, and it's nice to see it come back. I won't spend too much time on this, but I really am excited about seeing what they're able to do with the next generation formats, and whether or not this is going to have the one thing it's always needed, which is online play.
Well, I think it needs that, and I don't remember if they mentioned in the announcement or not. Is it going to be solely a PlayStation 3, or are they doing
no,
the multi?
It's PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360.
Okay, well, that helps, because, I mean, that killed Soul Calibur 3. You know, when they made it PlayStation 2 only, I mean, they cut off a lot of the people that they had just won over by putting it on.
But, I mean, they did put it on the most popular system worldwide.
Well, definitely, definitely. But, I mean, the best-selling version of Soul Calibur 2 was, I mean, the GameCube.
Yeah, it's only because it had Link.
Well, pretty much, yeah.
And because there weren't any other fighting games on the GameCube.
Well, there's Smash Brothers.
That's not, I mean, that's not really, that's...
that's a party game.
Yeah, yeah, that's...
Yeah.
That's like saying Metroid is a first-person shooter, it's, you know, compares to Halo.
Oh, no, they defined that very well. It's a first-person adventure.
Yes, yes, it's...
Yeah.
It should be likened to Alien vs. Predator on the Jaguar, and not...
Yeah. You know, speaking of first-person shooters, when are they going to come out with a second-person shooter?
Well. Yeah, that would be interesting.
I mean, I've been waiting for years for that to happen. I haven't seen it yet. You know, you've got first and third. I mean, they skipped right over the second.
So, Wes, I hear that you have a news story that is not very retro, but you'd like to bring it up and talk
about
it.
Yeah, you know... I want to ask what the hell is going on with England. Apparently, the Church of England, founded by the wonderful Henry VIII and his desire to, you know, get divorced, the Church of England has a very nice church in Manchester, which is a very bad neighborhood. The church appeared in Resistance Fall of Man for the PS3, and now they're threatening to sue Sony and Insomniac Games because of that. And, you know... The game, even in Europe, it came out a while ago.
Yeah, what, March is when it came out in Europe.
It's a very small portion of the game. I mean, it's a very small portion. You go in, you say, oh crap, they're in here too, and then you leave. And yet they're going to sue over this. And, I mean, what the hell?
Well, it shows that they're not very good at games because they're just now getting to to that section of the game.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not exactly talented.
No, that's... I wouldn't be bragging about that, guys.
Yeah, you know? We just now got to this. Yeah, you look at their... you know, you look at their 360 name and it has, like, achievements 2. Yeah.
And that's the one just returning the system on.
Yeah.
No, I mean...
You found the power button.
and red light, no ring of death for you.
Yeah, yeah.
But bringing it back to the subject at hand, I do agree with you that, I mean, it is absolutely ludicrous. But at the same time, don't you feel like they kind of have to do this? It's almost the same sort of reason that copyright holders have to go after these people, you know, whenever possible, so that it doesn't lose, you know what I'm saying.
As far as copyrights and patents and protections like that go, yeah, I absolutely agree with you. But when you're dealing with a public building that has been photographed and toured and everything else, then in that case, no, I don't really think you have a leg to stand on anyway.
Okay. Well, I'd agree with that to a certain extent. Do you... So you don't think they have a leg to stand on at all when it comes to... I mean, you don't think that Sony's going to change this at all?
I don't think that the people at Sony are sweating much at the moment.
Do you think that if this was a movie, Do you think that, or maybe a television show, do you think that, that there would be quite the same outrage, or do you think that this is specifically because they don't understand the medium?
Well, I think half of it is because they don't understand the medium, and the other half is that if you were dealing with a television show or a movie or something like that, I mean, half of the time you would actually film at the place, the other half of the time you would just recreate it.
Right.
And it's been pretty well established in movies that, you know, you have these public buildings, these public features that, you know, are hyped, you know, up and down again about how good the city is because it has this.
Sure, sure.
And with it being that much in the public eye, it almost seems like a fair use thing at that point.
No, I'd agree with that. So I think they keep coming back to saying that it's a desecration. I read that in the report several times. And it just seems like hyperbole. Like, I mean, like they, to me, it felt like they just didn't understand what the game was trying to do, or they probably didn't even play it to begin with. So I mean,
well,
they probably heard it secondhand.
My question to them would be, who is it? You know, who is it that sees it as desecration? You know, to the Church of England, to that particular religion, sure. But the Church of England is a very small portion of the overall world.
Right.
You know, I don't... And it goes back to my, you know, common point, which is recognize that other people think different ways.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody's going to look at this game by Insomniac and go, wow, is that happening right now? You know, I don't think it's going to cause a War of Worlds kind of panic.
Right, and I mean, there are certainly more offensive things that are done that you know, the church and others don't even mention. I mean,
yeah, and it's just, you know, whose panties are getting ruffled this week is really what it comes down to.
Sure, and
my apologies to the panty wearing people, but
and it does feel like they're getting angry at something that is so over the top that you can't be taken seriously. I mean, there's nobody that's going to play Resistance and think, oh well, this must be what it's really like. There must really be, you know, aliens and whatnot that I need to kill in that church. I mean, nobody's going to think that. And
yeah,
they say that, you know, that's it makes them worry because they're going, you know, because of the growing gun violence in that area. And I think that may have more to do with other things than actual video games. I mean,
it has everything to do with everything else. But
if somebody's going to If somebody's going to play Resistance and then say, hey, you know what I should do? I should go shoot up that church. Then they probably have something else going on that would have triggered, you know, their psychotic rage, you know, other than a video game anyway. I mean,
yeah,
could have been watching Charles in Charge and gone off and shot people. I mean, I want to watch that every time I see Scott Baio.
Oh, yeah, tell me about it. No, it has a lot to do with everything except this particular PlayStation 3 game. But they need something to focus on, and like it was with movies or comic books or television or music.
Yeah, rock music.
You know, video games are the latest stuff.
Yep.
So,
no, we are the new Mad Magazine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, not to cut this section short, but we have a packed show, and we've run this almost 23 minutes, so let's take a little break, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about some Virtual Console and Xbox Live Arcade games, and then we have a real special treat lined up for you. So,
and don't forget the weather.
Yeah. And still coming is traffic. So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. All right, I'm back. My name is Cyril Lachelle, and this is This Week in Defunct Games. I am, of course, joined with my co-host, Wes Brogan.
Hello, hello.
And after that lively debate, we figured that it'd be nice to talk about what you actually came here to listen to, which is our thoughts on the retro games of the week. And this week we had three virtual console games, and we had one Xbox Live Arcade game. The three.
And we'll spend a minute and a half going over all of them.
Well, a couple of them we don't really need to say much, as far as I'm concerned. But maybe we should start with Load Runner for the NES on the virtual console.
And I hate this goddamn game.
You hate Load Runner?
I hated this goddamn game.
Well, Wes, did you know that the original Load Runner was going to be called Kong?
Really?
Yes. And it was I did some research here. And it originally came out for the Apple II series computers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the very first appearance, or this NES version at least, is the very first appearance of Bomberman.
Wow.
So, tell me, why do you hate Load Runner, Wes?
Well, first of all, I want to point out that had this game remained being named Kong, it meant that I would have sat there and said, man, I fucking hate Kong, instead of I fucking hate Load Runner. I just want to put that out there. You know, it makes a huge difference.
So it's not the name that you hate, it's the game itself.
Exactly. I mean, let's go over all the limitations of Control alone. I realized that it was an early game. And for an early game, it was relatively decent, but it still pissed me off, even when it first came out, and I played it on the Apple II. I kept falling into my own goddamn hole.
Well, you're not supposed to do that.
Well, I was really good at it.
Apparently.
I mean, if that was the point of the game, I would have had it. Level one, I would spend my time in my own hole.
Well,
yeah.
I don't hate Load Runner. I had a lot of fun with Load Runner back in the day. However, there is no reason to buy this $5 game on the virtual console for a couple reasons. I'll start with the less important one first. The reason you don't want to buy this one is because though it has a level creator, and it's not shit. Come on now.
Even it's ugly as shit.
That is not... You cannot base... You know, all these classic games are ugly. Come on now.
Yeah, but name Load Runner.
Well, no, the problem is that you can create your own levels, but you can't trade them with people, which you can do with other versions of the game, which you can get on the PC. But the big reason that you don't want to buy this is because for $1 more, you get the infinitely better Battle Load Runner, which is the TurboGrafx-16 game, which is so much better because it combines everything that everything that I love about Load Runner with
it fixed everything that I hated about it.
Well, with five player competitive play. Now, Wes, have you played Battle Load Runner?
I have, yeah.
And do you hate Battle Load Runner as much as you
I
hate?
Do not.
So you like Battle Load Runner?
You know, I don't love it, but I do like it. It had a reason for existing. It fixed a lot of what was broken before, at least what I consider to be broken. But, I mean, Battle Load Runner, it was at least fun to play with friends.
Okay. Yeah, and it's only $1 more, and it's been out for a few weeks now, and what's better is that it never came out in the U.S. So it's a great game that's brand new to most people. And the graphics are, you know, considerably better. And, you know, it's a little bit more colorful, and the levels are cooler. And, you know, it's a fun multiplayer experience, sort of in the same vein as Bomberman. So don't buy this Load Runner. Buy the new one.
Don't bet yourself. Don't put yourself through that.
Maybe we should move on. I'm curious to hear what you have to say about Golden Axe 2, Wes.
You know, this is another one where it's remembered very fondly by everyone, and I never got it.
Well, I think the first one is remembered fondly. Do you think the second one was remembered fondly?
I don't... It's hard for me to say. I lived in a small town, but anything with the word Golden Axe just, you know, pretty much already caught people. I think some called it similar to it. Some said it was too easy. I mean, it varied a little. There's a hell of a lot better hack and slash games out there.
Sure, sure. And the first game, I understand why people liked the first game, because, you know, it took Double Dragon and gave it swords and cool characters and whatnot.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. And the whole magic idea, even though it was limited, was still really cool. But the sequel didn't improve on any aspect of the first game. I mean, it's essentially the second half of the first game.
Exactly.
And I mean, the magics are pretty much the same. The graphics are pretty much the same. The gameplay is identical. There's really no reason to sit through and play this one, as far as I'm concerned.
Which, I mean, to be fair, for the Genesis, the graphics aren't horrible.
Oh no.
They didn't need a whole lot of improvement. But
some of the backgrounds are a bit. They repeat the backgrounds a bit too much. But you know, it has some of my favorite gameplay decisions, like when you know that a skeleton is harder than another skeleton because it's red.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, and they're still doing that today.
Oh yes, know? Absolutely.
That's great stuff. Yeah.
The only cliche this is missing is there are no red barrels to shoot.
The other thing, I don't know if you remember this or not, but the covers for these games were horrible.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Golden Axe covers at all? I mean, the big old buff guy with a little tiny loincloth.
What I remember about them is I should have done my research and figured out who it was that drew these. But I remember back when these first came out, I had a friend who just loved these covers. A lot of them would come with posters so that you could hang them up on your wall. And he collected these posters of, you know, Golden Axe and all these other, you know, Sega games that were all drawn by the same guy. And
out of curiosity, does he date men now?
He was the biggest fan of 300. And
that's all I need.
the woman was in kind of skimpy clothing too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, except for the fact that she was always in the background. The first thing you get is the warrior with his little blue loincloth.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, I suppose.
Hey, if you're into that, I'm fine with it, you know?
It's detailed. I mean, there's definitely worse cover art. The Street Fighter, the U.S. Street Fighter covers are a lot more offensive to me.
Mega Man 1.
That's the one everyone goes to, though. I think that the Mega Man 1 cover is actually really cool in this terrible sort of way, because I think that there are probably people that bought that expected that character in that bizarro world where it looks like a realistic world and jungle and all sorts of things like that. And there's this,
and they started up. What the hell?
But I mean, when, as soon as you see that like cute little character on the screen, you think, hey, that's not the guy I bought.
Or what was it? Clash at Demon Head was really bad about that too. You got the anime art on the inside and the Frank Frangetta on the cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were always really bad about that.
All right. So the good game this week, at least on the Virtual Console, the good game this week I think everyone can agree on this, is Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
A
lazy sequel to Sonic 1. It did add Miles Tails Prower, which is a stupid name. And that's cool. It, you know, it had sort of a pseudo two-player mode. But the game itself, the levels and whatnot, are kind of lazy when you go back and you play them now. It's not until they release Sonic 3, I think, that people realized how good some of these Sonic levels could be.
You know, you're not going to be happy, are you?
No.
You're not gonna
I
be
really want to like
Last
this.
Last week, you complained about how Zelda 2 and Toe Jam and Earl are so different from the original game, and now Sonic 2 is too much like the original game.
No, you're right. But I mean, there is a happy medium. There's a balance.
There is, but we're not at a point with these games where they've really realized that yet. Like you said, Sonic 3 was really like a pinnacle in realizing what sequels were all about. Sonic 3 did it, Super Mario World did it. You know, there were some that showed that you can improve without ruining.
Yes.
And you can improve without weakening. But a lot of these sequels, I mean, we're just seeing where the industry had to learn all of this.
But here's the thing. You should not go out, as good as it is, you should not go out and buy Sonic 2. It's a great, you should not go out and buy it because it's $8, which isn't bad. No, hold on. No, but in fact, you shouldn't buy either of these two Genesis games because if you buy both of them, that's $16. For $4 more, you can go get about 25 other games, including those two games, in that Sega Genesis collection.
Yeah.
For the PlayStation 2 and PSP.
You're absolutely right.
Those games, you know, you might as well just get that collection, and then you have at least half of the other Sega games that were released on the Virtual Console.
Even there, you're taking it to the PS2, PSP. What about the Sonic Gems collection that they put out?
Absolutely.
GameCube?
Right. And, yeah, I was only saying that because that's the better of the collections, but...
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, there are GameCube collections, the Sega, the Sonic Mega Collection or whatever. Those are versions of the game that are... that are better,
yeah,
and cheaper at this point, and you can play them on the Wii. So, you definitely. I mean, Sonic 2 is a great game. It's not the best.
Good.
It's a good game.
Yeah,
it's in the 80% range.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty fair.
It's not as original as the first one, and it's not as amazing as the third one. The third one's the best, as far as I'm concerned. That's sort of the peak of Sonic, which it's been all downhill from there.
That pretty much ended it. The whole lock-on thing, that was interesting.
Well, and that's another thing that I would argue is that they need to, if they're going to release Sonic 2, what they should have done is they should have added an ability or something, a mode, so that you could play it with Knuckles.
It wouldn't have been that hard because the lock-on, it used the Sonic 2 data.
Yeah.
It just added in a slight amount. It basically gave it like a hidden extra, you know, ROM slot.
Exactly.
So it wouldn't have been that hard to create two alternate versions of the ROM. And I don't know why they didn't do that.
And that makes me worry, though, that if they release Sonic 1, 2, I guess just 2, 3, and Knuckles, that we're going to end up paying, you know, almost $30 for these things. And
especially with Sonic 3 and Sonic Knuckles, because they're basically, you know, two halves of the same game anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and if they try to milk that for all it's worth, they're just going to ruin the experience.
Oh, they are.
Oh, yeah, that's a given.
So,
I mean, sometimes...
No, yeah, I don't think that any of these Virtual Console games this week are worth buying. If you're going to buy Sonic, which you should play it at least, then, you know, but definitely buy it on one of the collections for cheaper. And
yeah,
you know,
I would agree.
So I guess that brings us to Prince of Persia, which is the good game. It's a classic game. But this is a remake of the original with brand new graphics, a new gameplay, and some differences throughout the game from what I can tell.
Yeah.
And now you had a chance, Wes, to...
Sorry.
All right. So, I'm sure we'll edit that out later. So
I that'd be a good idea. Yeah.
So Wes, you had an opportunity to sit down and play through it, as did I. Now, what did you think of this brand new, old, retrofit of Prince of Persia?
That's hard for me to answer, just because, you know, if I ever in the street ran into Jordan Mechner, I'd start humping his leg. I mean, that's just, to be perfectly honest.
Well, that's more information than I needed.
Well, the man's a genius. You look at the way the Prince of Persia that first came out. That was a game that changed expectations from games.
Well, Stephen Hawking is a genius, but I'm not going to go molest his leg.
Well, of course not. I mean, what video games he made? He puts out a video game, I'm all over it. You know, but he hasn't done that yet, has he? All right. But Jordan Mechner has. No, I mean, I loved the game when it first came out. I loved the concept of the rotocasting for all of the motion and the movements and all of that.
The hour time limit.
Yeah, the hour time limit. I mean, it was the first time I actually liked a time limit on my games.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all of that put together, it made for a very interesting experience.
That's how they should have done the 24 game, for what it's
yeah. Like. Oh, yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Actually, you know, get the experience, heaven forbid. But it's hard for me to say. A lot of it feels like Ubisoft Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
You got the graphics, the faster motion, and all of that. But I love the improved control scheme all the same. You know, the fact that you have several different options to do the same move is actually kind of nice.
Yeah.
You know, you can go with the one that works with you without having to go through the whole, you know, customize your buttons thing.
I like the new graphics. I thought that the new graphics were
They're
really
phenomenal.
Nice.
Yeah, they're absolutely phenomenal. The only thing that I miss is no way to play it in the original mode.
Yeah, no, that's something that I don't understand why they didn't just throw that in. I mean, that's something that they've had in other Prince of Persia games. I think the original Prince of Persia on the Xbox came with both Prince of Persia 1 and 2.
Right, yeah.
Which I would just toss that in, but I think you have to earn those, and then I would have to earn them on the Xbox 360 if that game's even playable on the Xbox 360 now.
I don't even know offhand if it is or not.
Yeah,
it should be.
I was going to check that out. I know the second one is. I was going to check that out earlier today, but I completely forgot about it.
Well, we know how you are. It's okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'd still have to go through and earn them again. And you know, I might as well just play the original Prince of Persia on one of the, you know, 80 other systems that it came out on.
Well, overall, I like the new Prince of Persia Classic. I do like it.
But is it worth the 800 points?
That's what I was going to say. It depends on the experience that you had with it before.
I mean, it's only an hour long.
Yeah. I mean, they've added, like, you know, time attack mode and survival mode, but, you know, whoop-de-frickin'-do.
Yeah.
The point is that it's still ultimately the same game that it was. They did a lot of work with the graphics and with the animations and all of that, and I can understand that they want to get that money back.
Sure.
This is one of the times where I wish they had, like, a 600-point level.
Sure, yeah. No, that would make sense. And I think my problem here is that, you know, for the same amount of points, you get that Castlevania Symphony of the Night, which is a lot longer, and
right.
has a couple of different ways of actually going through. You can play with, you know, two different characters.
Oh, yeah.
But, that's my problem with Microsoft is that, you know, last week they released that Pac-Man game for 800 points, and then this week it's another 800 point game. It's the Prince of Persia, and it just seems like if ever there was a game that should have been only, you know, $5, it's probably this one.
Well, I mean, this is, you know, leading directly into my question to you, and it involves Prince of Persia, and that, you know. And it brings in the whole Street Fighter remakes and all of that. Is it still a retro game at that point?
Well,
what is it?
I'm glad you asked, because we're going to be talking about that in the second half hour of our show. I guess it's probably the third segment. So let's take a short break, and we'll come back with a whole discussion about remaking retro games. So you guys, you go off and get yourself some water or food or go to the bathroom, and we'll be right back. And I want to apologize because we're back. My name is Cyril Lachelle, and this is This Week in Defunct Games. I'm of course here with Wes Grogan, our co-host.
Oh, you remember me. Good. I'm here with some guy.
Somebody's here. This week we don't have an article for Wes to pitch. His article, The Bare Necessities, was the... I told you I was going to name it that.
It worked out well.
The first installment last week, we posted that on Friday. It was the first installment of A Brief History of Gaming. And I think that from the response I've received, that was well received. Anyway, so this week we don't have an article from him, but we do have a topic that he and I are going to discuss, which is what makes a retro remake. And we bring this up because it seems like there have been a number of recent games, from Tomb Raider to Final Fantasy, and so on.
To SSFTDRHD. Yeah.
That have all been given a new facelift, and they're being sold for more money and whatnot. And we wanted to discuss whether or not this is a good thing, and actually what constitutes a retro remake. So, if you don't mind, Wes, I'm going to start, and
okay.
I'm going to answer your question of what makes a retro remake. What is that cutoff?
Okay.
And now.
And then I'll disagree with you.
Yes, I suspect a lot of people probably will. Now, I don't consider, the Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo Remix HD. I got all the words in there, right? Okay. I don't consider that to be a retro remake.
Okay.
I understand why somebody would. I mean, they are remaking the graphics, but from what they've said, the gameplay is going to be identical to the original game. They're not going to add anything besides the facelift.
Right.
So, to me, that's just... It's keeping the retro game and not really remaking it, except for the graphics.
Well, the only catch with that is that they are adding frames of animation, which will change...
I was under the impression they weren't going to do that because that would mess up the actual gameplay.
Yeah, last I heard, they are still going to go ahead and do that.
Okay, well, in that case, if it changes the gameplay, then I would consider it a retro remake. But now what I would consider a retro remake would be like the new Tomb Raider, for example, which, you know, they take the original as influence, but they add, you know, a lot to it, and not just graphics, but and then they change the gameplay and whatnot. I would also consider Resident Evil on the GameCube to be, you
right.
know, a retro remake. And now I guess the question is this a good thing to have these retro remakes, or should they just be focusing on new games?
Well, actually, overall, I agree with you with your definition of, you know, the retro remake. You know, it's all about the gameplay, and it has to be. I mean, that's what we remember. You know, I don't look at Yara's Revenge and love it for its graphics. You know, not by a long shot, but the gameplay was cool. So I agree with you on that. As to whether or not these remakes should exist, I don't know. In some ways, I want to say that it feels like it cheapens, you know, the experience of the original. But I could also see why, you know, they're enjoyable. It's a tough question.
Well, now, To go back on what I was saying, I wouldn't consider the new Final Fantasy 1 game for the PSP, the Anniversary Edition or whatever. I wouldn't consider that to be a remake, since all they're doing is kind of upping the graphics. Whereas what Square Enix did recently with Final Fantasy 3, where they completely turned it into a 3D experience, that would constitute being a complete remake.
Yeah.
And... You know, should they? You know, in that case, should they have done that? Should they have turned that into a complete 3D game as opposed to, you know, maybe just releasing the third one with better graphics?
Yeah, you know, you take something like that where it's like, you know, from the ground up, completely reinvented, and you've got people that are enjoying it that never would have enjoyed it in the original place.
Or never played it. That game was never released in the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, they never even experienced it at all. So, I don't really have a problem with doing that.
Should they release both versions of it? Like, if it comes out, should the Final Fantasy III have also have come with the original game on there somewhere?
That I fully believe in, yeah. You know, it's like what I went back and talked about before with, you know, Prince of Persia. I wish the original had been there. Yeah. It would be nice to have people have the option to experience it the way it was originally done. You know, especially with something like Final Fantasy, you know, the Japanese Final Fantasy III. It's not like it's a big amount of memory to put onto the cart.
No, not at all.
You know, it's a tiny thing. They already have the emulators for it. Just pop it on there and make it playable.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty much all you have to do. But they don't want to do that. They want to focus on the 3D. They want to focus on the remake. And especially, I mean, my God, how bad is Square now about remaking everything? You know, it's to the point now where it's almost embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, you know, there are definitely going to be people that, you know, that have not played the first Final Fantasy game. And, I mean, I know
there's a reason for that.
Oh, the first one's pretty, it's still a fun game. It's not the deepest story or anything, but it's still a fun game.
Wait, it has a story?
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, Gears of War doesn't have a story, and everybody loves that.
You have a point there. Yeah, it just says a guy named D-Train.
No, it's Coltrane.
Coltrane, my bad, Coltrane, yeah.
Because he's the black guy, like John Coltrane.
Yeah, and Love Supreme.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, now we're way off topic.
We're way... Well, that's hardly the only recent game to not have a story.
Yeah.
Of course, you could go the other direction where, you know, Metal Gear Solid is all story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know, I don't care what anybody says. If you don't play Metal Gear Solid, you watch it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are definitely some interactive moments. I mean, have you played Xenosaga?
Yeah, oh my God.
you start to appreciate how interactive Metal Gear Solid is. That about
had, what,
the time you
movie?
Yeah. You play Xenosaga, which you might as well, I mean, you set the control down for 45 minutes, you play for 10 minutes, and then you set it down for another 45 minutes.
You know how Guitar Hero 2 had an achievement for watching the credits?
Yeah.
Xenosaga should have done that for, like, every FMB. Make it through this one without skipping ahead.
They should have given you the other two for free.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think they did, just in movie form.
But moving back to the subject at hand, there are a lot of remakes. And now in the case of Resident Evil, the original Resident Evil on the GameCube was actually a lot better, in my opinion, than Resident Evil Zero, which was their original game for the GameCube.
Yeah.
So would you rather they have stuck with that sort of thing, or... I mean, because that it didn't really drastically change the gameplay at all, outside of the better graphics, and then they rearranged what you did in the game and changed the characters and whatnot, but the gameplay was still the same, unfortunately.
I think ultimately I have to answer that question looking at it from a bigger picture. I would just like to see less remakes overall. It's starting to feel like, you know, the ideas are dried up. They're going to go for the safe remake every time.
Yeah, and, but I mean, would you? It's safe and easy to say that it's there are no more ideas, and that, you know, people are just going for the safe games. But I mean, we just got off of a year where it was almost entirely all original IPs. I mean,
right. The
big games from last year, for the most part, be it, you know, Resistance or, Gears of War or whatnot, those are all original IPs. And, I mean, even this year you have that new Naughty Dog game that's a new IP. You have, most of the stuff that's coming out, even Crush and Puzzle Quest and whatnot, Crackdown, I mean, we're getting a bunch of new games, and there are a couple of sequels, a couple of big sequels, I should say. But for the most part, I mean, Mass Effect and BioShock and all these games are all original IPs.
No, I'm not denying that at all. It's just I don't know. I'm trying to think of the best way to put it. It just seems like we're spending too much time going back and looking back. Like, you know, Square, instead of remaking Final Fantasy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, 12.
Well, they haven't remade any of the PlayStation era games.
Yes.
I guess the only one you could really argue with is they're remaking Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah.
But no, they haven't gone back and done 7, even though that's the one remake everybody seems to want. So,
yeah.
But I mean, do you think they're going to go back eventually and remake 7, 8, and 9?
I think if the money's there, they're going to do it, and the money's definitely there. Maybe not 9, because everybody hates 9 except me, but
hated 8. 9 got good reviews.
Yeah, but the fans don't like it as much, I found.
Who cares what the fans say? The fans don't like Final Fantasy 2 either, and they're remaking that.
They already have once.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you know, it's on the GBA.
Yeah, and it's coming out for the PSP here in July, so.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a good point. The fans are idiots anyway. You know, if they consider 7 to be the best of them, then there's a really real problem.
Well, come on. Now, the reason everyone likes 7 is because that's the first one where they realize that, you know, this is going to be, you know, this is what a contemporary Final Fantasy is going to be like. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing at the time.
And as soon as they realized that, they got 8.
Yes. I thought 8 was a good game. I'll stand behind 8.
I liked 8. It changed a lot of things that needed to be changed, and it got rid of a lot of the hang-ups from the 16-bit era. So I did like 8. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, you know, that's the thing, is that Final Fantasy is such a toss-up thing anyway. But as long as there are fans out there that like it, I think they will remake it. It's just a matter of time.
So is Tomb Raider Legend, or, you know, not Legend, but is Tomb Raider Anniversary, do you think that's completely unneeded?
That's a really good question. I don't know that it's completely unneeded, but I definitely think that there weren't many people sitting back going, man, why don't they remake the first one? You know, or man, I'd like to see the first one on this new technology.
Yeah, I mean, I'll admit that when I played Legends, I thought to myself that it would be nice to go back and play the first two games like this. Because I have fond memories of the first two games. Yet I don't want to go back and play them because I don't like the control scheme. It's not even the graphics. It's just that control scheme I hate. And same with Resident Evil. I, you know, after playing Resident Evil 4, I thought to myself, damn, I really want to go back and play the first three Resident Evil games using this control scheme.
Yeah, maybe I don't know. Maybe it's just that I don't think that way, but I mean,
have you gone back and tried to play Resident Evil 1 through 3 with the old control scheme?
God, yeah. Playing Tank on the Atari all over again.
I mean, that's just, it's terrible.
Yeah, no, it pretty much was unplayable, and it still is unplayable. It wasn't the controls that people loved back then.
No,
because
no.
They weren't defined yet.
No, there is an emotion to it. I mean, You play that game and you actually get, you know, you get scared. It does a good job with its atmosphere, especially because of its music and sound. Not so much its voice acting, but the music and sound.
Yeah, and, you know, that's always been one of the most underestimated areas, is the music and the sound. So, I don't know. I don't know that it was necessary. I don't know that it was unnecessary. It's just, I can understand why they made the decision to do it. And I can also understand why it'll never be, like, you know, the world's best seller.
Right. I think that what they should do is, I can't be too down on these remakes, though, because the game I'm most excited about this year is that Castlevania, the Dracula X Chronicles.
Oh, yeah, that looks good.
And, I mean, at its core, the game, or the new version of the game, I should say, is going to be a remake you know, with new graphics, I mean, completely new graphics and some different weapons and levels and whatnot from the original game. And but at the same time, it does come with the original version of the game, which I think
Thank God.
Yeah, I think that's one of the main reasons why you should want it.
Yeah, that's the difference right there. And it's a game that most people haven't had a chance to experience.
Exactly. I think that's another reason. I mean, if it was just them re-releasing Symphony of the Night with different graphics, which I know it comes with, but you know, that's basically just an extra. If they go ahead.
I guess my main complaint would be focused on, like, you know, the Square Enix's and the Capcom's out there. It just seems like they're sacrificing moving their lines forward in favor of going back.
Well, did you play Mega Man Mega Man Powered Up, the PSP?
One moved forward. That was a really good game. They did a good job with it.
Absolutely.
But then you look at things like the Street Fighter, or you know, the Pocket Fighter, or you know, Puzzle Fighter.
Puzzle Fighter.
I do too, but it's not like it's so old that it's unplayable the way that it is.
No, but I think that people expect, you know, the game to look a little better in this day and age. And I mean, it's I think it's unneeded when it's, you know, Centipede or Millipede or whatnot. But at the same time, if you're going to, I mean, they have the art assets and they have the time to do this stuff. So why not? You know, why not make these Puzzle Fighter look a little better? You know, especially because of the HD era and whatnot.
I don't know. I'm afraid of a trend. I'm afraid of a trend where, you know, they find a source of easier income. And I think that's my fear more than anything else. I just don't want them focusing more on looking back than moving forward.
Well, yeah, I guess they've always been about looking back, though. I mean, they've released Street Fighter 2 on just about every platform.
You don't even want to get me started on the Street Fighter 2 series. Well, now, I mean, how many different titles does that game have, anyway?
Well, now, do you have a problem with them doing it with the Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo Remix HD?
Well, you know, as we were talking about in email, it comes down to SSF2TRHD.
Yes.
And that's
a long
the short
acronym. No kidding.
Yeah. That's the short name. So, yeah, I do. You know, there are other more modern Street Fighter games out there. We already have a Street Fighter 2 on the Live Arcade.
Yeah, but it's not very good.
Then they shouldn't have put that one out to begin with.
I agree.
You know, it's a bait and switch technique. Except here they're wanting money for both of them. I don't know. It's...
Well, you. I mean, it's clear that they're putting this out in response to the popularity of Street Fighter 2. I mean, it was the fastest selling game on Xbox Live Arcade at the time. It may still be, in fact. So, I mean, it's clear from a marketing standpoint that it makes absolute sense for them to re-release, you know, other versions. I would agree that I'd rather it be Street Fighter Alpha 2 or 3. But at the same time, I'm really excited to see what the graphics, you know, look like in motion.
No, I agree with that, but they could have done the same graphical update to a more modern game.
Well, this is technically a more modern game than Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if they had taken the HD graphics and they'd applied it to, like, you know, the Alpha or the 3.
Right.
I would have been a lot happier with
it. Yeah, but Street Fighter 3 isn't a very good game.
Well, no, but the Alpha games are.
Yes, yeah, I'll agree with that. And it's a shame that they don't have the Marvel license anymore, because I would have liked to have seen that with the Marvel versus Capcom.
Yeah. Now, that would have been sweet. I wouldn't have had a problem with that. It would have been different. It would have been unique. I wouldn't have had a problem with
maybe
that.
Maybe a Capcom versus SNK3 or something.
That'd be nice, too, yeah. But, you know, with Street Fighter 2, you have the Champion Edition, you have the original, you have the Hyper Fighting, the new Challengers, Turbo HD Remix, Anniversary Edition. It's been released for the Arcade, Super NES, Mega Drive, Genesis, PC Engine, Amiga, Commodore 64, ZX Spectrum, PC, Amiga, CD32, 3DO.
You're just reading it off now.
Yeah, I am, actually. Game Boy Advance, PlayStation, Sega Saturn, PlayStation 2, Xbox, mobile phone, Xbox Live Arcade, and Virtual Console. So I think Street
Did
Fighter
you mention PSP in there? Because it's on the Capcom collections.
Right, you're right. It's on the PSP too. So I think it's been covered. You know.
Oh no, I'd agree with that.
And that's more of my point. I mean, you need to reach a point where you say, okay, let's do a different one.
So there is a dark side to these retro remakes, though. And of course, I'm talking about the Sega Ages games that came out in Japan,
yeah.
And to a certain extent here in the U.S. a few years back. From what I understand, they have gotten off of the idea of remaking these games, but a lot of the early ones that came out, they did not they instead of just porting them, they completely remade them and. Some games were like the original Phantasy Star and Golden Axe specifically. I remember that one being especially heinous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they tore that one up.
Yeah, but other examples are Phantasy Zone, Space Harrier, Bonanza Bros, Columns, Monaco GP.
They actually did Bonanza Brothers?
They did.
Wow. I would love to have been there for that talk. What game do we want to put out next? How about Bonanza Brothers? Let's remake it.
Yes.
I don't... Wow.
But they put out... so far they put out over 30 games for the Sega Ages. And not very many of them are very good.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the dark side. When you remake a game, but they don't even remake them in very good ways. I mean, the games that with improved graphics don't even look like they're up to 32-bit quality.
Yeah.
Golden Axe especially looks really poor.
Yeah, I heard that got, you know, basically put through the shredder.
So and it's actually worse to play on that mode because the weapons aren't very good, and the range of the weapons especially is very poor. So I don't know. It seems like it's a really bad idea in some cases. If you don't know what you're doing, and you don't have the time to really do a good job, or maybe the budget, because these were cheap games.
Yeah, budget has a lot to do with it.
If you don't have the time and the money to do this, then I don't think that you should. And that's what it really comes down to.
And you need a very solid appreciation of why the game is a classic. You know, a lot of times I see this and they update all of the wrong things. You know, you need to understand why do people love this game?
Yeah.
And what do we need to fix to make it better? And it gets lost a lot.
And it changes per game. I mean, I know that a lot of people... for the most part, it doesn't matter what the gameplay is. I mean, if you have great graphics in Double Dragon, it's not going to change the fact that the gameplay is pretty bad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think there are a lot of people that enjoyed the GameCube version of Resident Evil more than the PlayStation version, if only because that game is about graphics. It's about the scary atmosphere and you know, all the detail that's around and in the graphics and whatnot. So I think that it depends on what game it is. And then there are some games that don't need improving on either. I mean, you don't need better graphics or gameplay in Tetris.
So don't
remake it.
Although they keep doing so.
Yes, no, seriously, don't keep remaking it.
Yeah, stop.
Don't make sequels either.
And we don't want a sequel to Blastris either, so just stop right there, too.
If anybody even remembers that one. That game is never coming out for the Virtual Console.
No, I think you covered that one, didn't you?
I did. That's in my list of the 25 Virtual Console, or for 25 games we'll never see on the Virtual Console.
To this day, I'm impotent because of that game. Just for the record.
Well, you're not supposed... You're supposed to hold the Super Scope up a little bit more.
Oh! Oh, see, I've always blamed it on the radiation. You know, that was not a safe gun.
But that is a, you know, it makes sense why they released it based in the era that it came out in. And it, when you look at the action movies that came out, it seemed like they just had to one-up everything. You know, they couldn't just have machine guns anymore. They had to have some sort of missile launcher.
Yeah.
And so I think that that was the mentality that, that Nintendo had at the time, which is they couldn't just have some puny little pistol.
They paid for that later when they got put up before Congress.
Yeah.
That's something I'll write about at some point.
Speaking of which, next week's episode, I won't tell you what it's about, but it does have to do with Sega.
Yeah, yeah. And it actually brings in Sonic.
It does. And the Sega CD and a few other things like that. And I think that... So next week's episode is actually going to be a pretty interesting episode full of Sega and all sorts of their systems. It's it's an interesting article, and I think you all are going to enjoy it.
I definitely think it's one of my top two. I fully believe that.
Well, it will be the second article.
Yeah.
Like, I think this next episode is actually even better than the Bare Necessities.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. But
what's that saying about the Bare Necessities?
I don't know. And then in about a month we'll have another episode. I assume.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the main thing is that I'm going to try very hard to keep it consistent. I don't want people having to, you know, wait for it or wonder where it is or anything like that.
It's every 2 weeks, every other Friday.
Right.
So not tomorrow, but we will have it. We'll have it the very next Friday, whatever date that is.
And it intentionally won't be there tomorrow. So don't email and complain.
No. So I think that this is a good topic, and we for now we've exhausted it, but I'm sure we'll come back to it because I don't think that we're ever going to run out of companies that are remaking their classic games, especially when it comes to the downloadable stuff for the Xbox Live Arcade.
Hey, that's the cash box right there.
Absolutely.
No, SSF2 TRHD hasn't come out yet, so...
That is not a shorter name.
No, it's really not.
They should have just, you know, they really should have just remade the first one.
Yeah, yeah. Because that had excellent gameplay.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And they should have, you should go out and be able to buy the control with huge buttons.
Oh, God.
That would have been awesome.
See, that's what Nintendo needs to put out, is the adapter for, you know, the NES Advantage. When they put that out, that's when, you know, I'll love my Wii forever.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm waiting.
They should have an adapter so that you can play all of the classic consoles. I think a third party has done that, but it doesn't do like the Genesis, and it doesn't do the TurboGrafx and whatnot. So that's an NES, Nintendo 64, Super NES converter would be perfect.
Yeah, I wouldn't complain at all.
No.
But hey, let's give a little shout out to our fans, huh? See if they have any topics.
Absolutely. And I already have a couple of other ones I'm gonna suggest to you in the post-show wrap-up. But before we get to that, I want to bitch a little bit.
Okay.
And this is not something that I had put in the notes and whatnot, but I just recently got done reviewing SNK versus Capcom Card Fighters DS, which I've had for about 3 weeks, but I just recently got around to reviewing it.
And you love dearly.
And this is one of my least favorite games of the year. And I find this to be incredibly offensive because I absolutely loved the original Card Fighters Clash on the Neo Geo Pocket Color. And I even went as far as importing the Card Fighters Clash 2 Expanded Edition, which was a Japanese-only game that was running about $100 on eBay. And even though I can't read a word of it, I enjoy that dearly. But what I was really hoping for was that they could resurrect the series and it would be on a system that a lot of people own. Because that's my one problem I have with the classic Capcom versus SNK, or SNK versus Capcom, I mean. Which is
so what did you get instead?
What's that?
So what is it that you got instead?
Well, like I said, I was hoping that I'd actually be able to play this with people, but what I got is the absolute worst version of any card fighting game I've ever played. They have completely destroyed everything that was good about. Okay, here's the problem. they added these things called force icons, which are colored, and you start with, I think, like three or four gray ones to begin with. Now to post any of the cards, you have to have a certain amount of these colored force cards. So, like, you know, if you want to post, I'll just say Mackie, for example, you have to have two red and one gray. The problem is you don't get red and other colors until you have those cards already on the table. So you either have to start throwing cards away to get those first icons, or you don't do the colored icons at all. So the problem is that you could go three or four rounds without getting any cards that you can actually put on the table, while the computer seems to always have enough force icons to get a commanding lead. So, I mean, and now instead of only being able to put down three or four cards, or only three cards, as it was with the Neo Geo Pocket Color version, you can put down eight. And there are games where I couldn't, before I even put down my first card, there were seven cards on the table.
Oh my god!
So, I mean, all he has to do is attack, and I can't even defend, and the game's over.
Yeah.
And it's all based on luck, and it's absolutely one of the worst games I have played all year. I ended up giving it about, I gave it a 40%, which I think is generous, considering that after you beat the game, you get this extra mode, which allows you to go through the game again to collect all of the 400 cards, which is the fun part of all card games, which is to collect all the cards.
Right, yeah.
But the problem is that you end up not being able to do that, because on the ninth floor, if you talk with this one guy who has a card for you, the game freezes.
What?
Yeah. It stops. It absolutely freezes. And that's, it's really disappointing, and I guess SNK, you're going to be able to send it back, and they'll send you another one. But of course, by that time, the memory's going to be completely wiped. So yeah. You'll never know. You'll have to start all over again. Not that you want to, because the game is just boring. It's just, what I wish they would have done is that I wish that they would have figured out a way of just porting the old ones, putting online play, and giving us, you know, more cards, so that we could go back and forth, and I could actually have a game that I could play with other people.
And that was intelligent?
Yes. It's bad when the Dragon Ball Z card fighting game that just came out is better.
Oh my god!
Because I got that to review also, and that game's no, that's not a brilliant game or anything, but it is definitely better than SNK vs. Capcom Card Fighter DS, which depresses the hell out of me.
I don't know why they can't get card games right more consistently.
There are a couple of good ones, but this is not one of them.
It's not a safe bet, you know?
And the absolute worst thing about this game is